Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
How much Derby coverage do you watch there?
I usually love the Derby, and I usually watch I watch a lot of it. I've been to the Derby. I like the Derby.
Yeah.
I used to love horse racing. You know, when I was like 15 years old, I used to go to the horse track, me and my buddies, and we'd spend Friday, Saturday nights just gambling on the horse track at the horses. Like, it kills me that I live 7 minutes from a horse track, and I just very rarely make it over there these days. 15-year-old me would hate 36-year-old me for that reason.
I think 36-year-old you would also hate 15-year-old you if we're just...
That's true, too.
Turnabout's fair play on that one.
That's true, too. I would think 15-year-old me was just a brat.
I think this one probably a lot more easy to deal with than that one. Fair?
I don't know. I was pretty laid back, even at 15. I just cursed a lot, and I was very... I don't know. There was a lot about society that didn't make sense, and I just tried calling it out consistently.
I was like a hippie
in the 70s. No, I just don't care as much.
Okay. No, that's nice, right?
Yeah, that is nice. But I'd be mad. I think 15-year-old me would be mad that I live so close to a horse track, and I very rarely make it over there because I was obsessed with horses for like a 3-year stretch. In fact, I at one point was like, if sports radio doesn't work out, I'll go work for HRTV, which is horse racing TV. That now has become like the FanDuel TV or something like that. I don't know what it is. And so I loved it, and now I do nothing with it.
I obviously worked at Northfield Park.
That's right.
Growing up. When I was young and broadcasting.
That's right. Didn't you almost get bucked by one of the horses?
Almost got ran over by a horse, yeah. Yeah. Turns out I have no technical skill to run a Chiron. That's why I didn't last in the booth. And I ended up being one of that was the third corner guy.
Yeah.
Who my job was to point it at the horses and then you push it immediately down and then run around the side.
It's a big job. You don't understand. For the gamblers out there, like 15-year-old me, we cared about what you were doing.
I must have done a good job because they never wanted me to leave that spot. But yeah, I remember there was an announcer guy and I remember just being like mystified at the guy announcing the horse races because I was like, this is not human.
They're like hockey announcers and that there's just another level to that broadcasting that we just don't have.
And he was just like a country guy. I don't even know he actually was an announcer. He was just a guy that came in, could talk quick and say all the horses' names really quickly and do all the lingo. It was great.
They're usually like auctioneers end up doing that job too.
I think you need to dress Charlotte up. I think you guys should just derby it up this weekend.
Little run for the roses.
I think we can get
mint juleps about.
Mint juleps, yeah.
Man, I got so hammered when I went to the derby on these mint juleps that were like at the derby for some reason there was like $8 mint juleps, like incredibly cheap.
Is that good? Okay,
incredibly cheap and just full of just booze everywhere. I got very hammered. Yeah, good times. I will not be doing that this weekend, though. I just don't see it happening. How much of the Derby are you taking in?
About good 3 minutes. You know, real good 3 minutes.
That's what we'd say you're good for. There's always
3.5 minutes more.
There's always NFL players that are there in some capacity.
Yeah.
I wonder if this would be the weekend that Shador would make a big appearance
at the Shaderby.
Yeah, remember when Baker did it? And Baker did like the whatever their version of a first pitch essentially is when you like make that big announcement in the very beginning. Baker did it, and we all lost our minds here.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a big moment.
Do you want? Okay, if Dylan Gabriel did that this weekend, will we lose our mind?
I don't think they're inviting Dylan Gabriel.
If Kenny Pickett,
I don't think they're inviting Kenny Pickett.
If
either.
Tiny Baby Hands, Kenny Pickett, if he did it, would
Kenny Pickett would be in the background with a group of like Tom Brady, who's always there, and Baker does go a lot of years too, by the way, and like they'd mention all the players, and then Kenny Pickett would be in the photo and not mentioned.
So we were talking about Shador Sanders, and will Shador have to be just that much better, head and shoulders better than anyone to claim the job right out of camp? I think that's a different question once you get 4 to 5 weeks into the season, because then I think there's more time to earn trust for Shador. And I just think, like, between minicamps, rookie minicamps, OTAs, training camp in the preseason, I don't think there's a huge runway specifically for Shador if Kevin Stefanski already has Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel ahead of him in his mind.
Yeah.
So once you get into the regular season, I think it changes a little bit, because then it becomes, we got to save our bacon, right? The pressure hits. Pressure's always there in the NFL. Not like if you start 1-4 like the Browns, or 0-5 like the Browns might be able to do. But what is an up and up quarterback search or quarterback run look like for you?
A quarterback run, like when they start.
Quarterback competition.
I'm not going to be the person that if Shador doesn't win the battle, I'll be like, this thing was rigged.
What if Shador doesn't make the roster?
I can't make any promises. If Shador doesn't make the roster,
I'm gonna
have a lot of questions about what happened there.
So if you think he doesn't make the roster.
We'll know that with the lead up. We're going to know, because we're going to be out there ourselves, and we're going to have all the media watching him like a hawk. We're going to know. It's going to be painfully obvious, but I just don't see that happening.
We're not going to be out there as much as we normally are. Like, that's what makes this difference from, like, 6 or 7 years ago, when we would watch Deshaun Kaiser, is there were so many more opportunities to watch him.
The first 2 weeks, aren't they? They're doing because I think they're on the road, right? The first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So like that even limits it even more.
So I just think it's interesting. Like, do you think it's 100% that likely that he makes the roster?
Yeah, I do. I don't know. Unless it was something really outrageous, where all of a sudden, again, something out of his control. Think about it though. Like, he doesn't. What is he going to fall into that would limit him from not making the roster?
I mean, this is a pass-fail thing with Shador. Like, if he really upset teams, and he did. Like, every report is, name any team that he worked out with. Almost every team, there's some report that he did not come off right in his interviews, or they gave him whiteboard work, and then he couldn't do it, or didn't do it, or didn't study hard enough. Like, that is a pass-fail thing here with Shador.
I just think the Browns have been so lenient when it comes to letting people with problematic histories. And Shador doesn't even have a problematic history. He was just a little bit of a nuisance. Be around the team and let them try to figure it out. And so I think they're going to let him figure it out. And I think his play will speak for itself.
Here's the thing. My rebuttal to you is, I don't know. Like, I don't think I can definitively say 100% he makes this roster. That doesn't mean I think it's 98% likely he won't. But I do think, because of the...
I mean, there's only one...
I think
one...
he comes in with strikes against him that Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, and Joe Flacco don't.
Sure, but there's only one quarterback on this roster right now that we can legitimately say will be there week one, and that's Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. I mean, I think this whole thing about Kenny Pickett has a better chance to win the job than Joe Flacco, I really struggle with that. I would say Joe is right behind Dylan in terms of most likely to be here. Because I think, listen, if either Dylan Gabriel or Shador wins the job ahead of Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett, who's going to keep you more honest if they're behind you in the quarterback room? Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco? I almost call him Joe Flackett.
Flackett works too.
I think Joe Flacco.
Yeah, for sure it'd be Flacco. So. But then you're gonna waste time and actual games with somebody that you're not going to carry over into next year?
Like, it's interesting. I think Browns fans are like, okay, now you took him. Let's stop talking about him, because it doesn't matter, because he's a fifth-round pick. It's like, guys, the Shador stuff is going to be the most intriguing stuff of every single thing here, because at any point, if he does the things that I think he did that upset everybody that saw him fall from a first to second rounder to a fifth rounder, he could be gone. And I really think, like, it, because I think that's part of him coming in and understanding that he's that close to the bandsaw. I mean, anyways, he's got to.
If that does happen, I'll call blouses on his career. Like, if that happens where he doesn't make the team, that's, yeah, I don't think that's,
I think,
like,
he'd get picked up immediately.
No, I mean, because it would be the Browns saying, you are such a headache, you are such a this, you are such a that, and we in a month can't even deal with you. I don't know that, just like him passing up all these teams on their draft boards, I think the same thing would happen to him on the streets.
All right, I know Jim in Strongsville wants to talk about the Kentucky Derby, but Jim, real quick, is Shador Sanders guaranteed a roster spot this year?
No, I didn't know you were talking Shador, but now that I agree with you 100%, Nick, the bottom line is if this wasn't a wake-up call for Shador and he comes in with some of the – I get it, they're alleged bad habits, but if he comes in with the bad habits, he's the fifth-round pick. They're just not going to put up. I just don't see the Browns putting up with it. You know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze at that point. So, no, I'm not going to do that. And I actually disagree with you, Nick, that Flacco's the most – look, what are you going to do? Can you imagine you're going to try – I get it. We all have this emotional affinity towards Joe Flacco because of the magic that was that season. What am I getting out of that guy if I'm going to start him from day one, knowing that he's going to throw a ton of picks? Maybe you win a few games, but you know what he is. He's a 500 to just under 500 quarterback as a starter. He's going to throw a lot of picks. I'd rather see the young kid, somebody with upside, and maybe we catch lightning in a bottle. So, no, I don't see that. And then as far as the Derby goes, you guys need to get into this more. Listen, Jonathan, I'm not sure 15-year-old you was much better than 36 or 8 or however old you are now, old you.
36.
But, like, you guys get, whatever. You got to get into this, guys. You got to go buy some
cocktails. I used to love it, Jim.
And by the way, you are giving Nick all kinds of credit. First off, by saying 3 minutes, and then secondly, by saying it's a good 3 minutes. Come on now.
I'll split the difference. 3.5 minutes. But I can't promise it's good.
I was going to say a mediocre 3.5. Would you take a good three?
Generous,
would you take a good three or a mediocre 3.5?
I don't know, Jonathan.
What was that answer? What happened to your voice?
Did you replay what you said there? A good three or a mediocre 3.5?
Oh, I just inverted him. I'm sorry.
I still don't think he's getting what I'm putting down. 216-474-0092. Nah, still not. Nope, not doing it. Todd Schrupp, a FanDuel TV racing host, joins us in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.